Good morning to each of you. Could we stand for a word of prayer here? Yes, Heavenly Father, as we consider the song we just sang, Lord, that we will be true to you, we just ask you, Lord, to make that a reality in our life as we consider you and your creation, Lord, and how you govern the lands and the world, Lord, and yet you are with those of a broken and contrite heart. I pray, Lord, that we could walk humbly before you all the days of our life, recognizing that it's only your goodness that has led us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to everyone that is gathered here, Lord. You know their personal needs. You know mine. You know each one of the children, Lord. You know where they're at. And I pray, Lord, that you would draw their hearts, those that have resisted your calling and your will, that we would surrender, Lord, completely to you, recognizing that you love us and that you want us to have a righteous ending. We do pray, Lord, for as we preach the word today, Lord, that it would go where it needs to go and that it would be effective as you would see fit, Father. Not because I say it, Lord, but because it is your living word. We thank you. We pray that you bless our time here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today, to be encouraged by the principle of his word. I think of Terry's message there, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. And I know with responsibilities in life that sometimes we forget about that, if you're like I am. But to keep him number one in recognizing that, do I have this thing in the right place? That he has our good in mind, and not just for this life, but in this life we will have some struggles and tribulations, as Terry mentioned. But God wants us to finish well. And for the message this morning, I thought we would just maybe preach kind of expository out of the Gospel of Luke chapter 15 and just see what the Lord would have for us there. So you can turn with me there. Luke chapter 15, as we consider, we all know that this is kind of a well-known word of God, and rightfully so, where the principle of repentance is the main theme. Luke chapter 15, we'll just begin reading. Thank you, Victor, for that children's lesson as well, the full armor of God. And I think of one of the things I'd like to say about repentance toward God is that it has to be one of the foundation stones that we lay. In other words, when we see our own life in reality to the holiness of God's word. And that is what I'd like to just, we just want to talk a little bit about that today. And maybe as we go on here, we'll touch on different things, but I'd like to just begin reading here. A few things to point out here. Verse 1, we're just going to speak as we go through. I won't read it all here at the beginning. Verse 1, Luke 15, it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And I'd like to just sometimes in our own hearts and minds here that when there's a reality in the evidence of publicans and sinners that we might get near to in a day's time, what is our response to them? Do we have the hope of Christ that we can, in faith, talk to them? The publicans were tax collectors, but they were also, they sat at the toll booths and they took in tribute money, and they were well known for their bribery and thievery and corruptness. They had a reputation that was not good. And it was a true reputation. That's who they were. And then the sinners, that could be everything. When the righteous of the land, or they felt they were righteous, when they saw that the Savior got near to this type of people, They were murmuring. They did not like, they didn't think that that was fit, that Christ would get near to such and even spend time with and even eat with them. So that's just, you know, kind of brief myself. Sometimes we can see a group of people or we can go to the grocery store and we're like, he's too far gone. It's too bad. No, it's not. It's God is in the business of redeeming the sinners, and each one of us was that very thing. We cannot forget that. And then he spake this parable unto them, that what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I had to think a little bit about that. A lot of us have had livestock in our life, and whether it's cattle, horses, sheep, or goats, or whatever, but anybody that has an or takes care of a herd of livestock, if he feeds them every day, if one don't come in the morning, he knows that one didn't come in. And you kind of stop right there and you go look for that one that didn't come in. Have a heart for the souls of humanity of that nature. You know, if there's someone that is obviously not in the kingdom of God, do we have a burden to seek and to save that which is lost? We can't save it, but God wants us to preach and share the message of hope to them. You let the ones that are in the barn and you go look for the one that's not in the barn. He's not in the kingdom. You go look for, have a burden for those that are without the kingdom, and then you seek until you find it. Now, I don't believe by any means that we're going to save the whole world, but the means of salvation are there for the whole world. God wants us to share that. He wants us to be faithful in the little things, in sharing the word of God. He gives the increase. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He actually, you know, when there's, this is just an animal, but it's given a type here of salvation. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I just, from my own heart, I'd love to capture that burden for the lost around me and even the lost among us here. Can I say it that way? To capture that burden that there's a sheep here that is not in the fold. Do we have that burden? I'm asking myself. Just because he's here don't mean he's in the fold. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99, the 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, I believe those just persons that he's talking about here, those have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. We don't want to, you know, there's the ones that are clearly in the fold. He says that he rejoiced, the sinners or the angels rejoice in heaven. And I had to think about that a little bit. If we would actually believe that the angels rejoice in heaven over one sinner that come to repenteth, why are we so reluctant to come to repentance? The angels in heaven are going to rejoice over you when you decide to come to repentance. Think about that. The very angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. And you know what? This is a current living word. They're doing that today. They've been doing that for the last 2,000 years over one sinner that comes to repentance. The angels in heaven are rejoicing. Why are we so slow? You'd think that we'd be rushing to repentance. Rushing to repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now I'd like to just point out here, it's not about the coin and it's not about the sheep. It's about the sinner that comes to repentance. That's what it's about. And but Jesus has given us a simple illustration as a herdman and over a lady that cherishes her silver coins, and she has a collection over here, and she's got it gathered together. And when her friends come over, she said, look what I gathered together here. this collection of rare coins and one is lost. Now, wait a minute. That's not going to be a complete collection. She searches until she finds it, sweeps the house and gets a light. I'd like to liken that as the light of the candle of God's word. This is light. And God's word sheds light on my life. And it will reveal the secrets and it'll reveal where I'm at before a holy God. It's a living word of God. And it's one that, despite what we think, every soul that was ever born from Adam to this day will give an account to this word. Every soul. No exceptions. And there's no exception in this room. The living God, the word of God stands sure. You can't make it disappear. But I'd like us to consider that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that comes to repentance. One sinner. Do we have that zeal or burden? Lord, help us. Then he goes on to the one that the scripture, or that this portion of scripture is famous about, or famous, or I should say noted for, not famous, but noted. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. I'd like to just consider a little bit about that verse. A few things. Number one is that we are all familiar with inheritance. It is what your parents leave you after they die. How many are here that have lost both parents? Is there many in this house today? There's not very many. Terry, Mary Mae, Alvy, Julie, and myself, and Dan. Is that it? We're Brandy. There's something to be said about that. Number one, is this a fairly young congregation? But what I'd like to point out here is that when the inheritance is divided, as it, the word gives it here, it's because both parents have passed it on. Both parents have died. So the inheritance is here and it gets dispersed, but here we have a son that said, Father, I'd like to have it today. I want it right now. And the father said, and he divided it unto them. He gave it to him. Now, when speaking of inheritance, I don't know how all of you are. I'm just saying that it never crossed my mind in my life, or I never planned on what I was going to do with my inheritance from mom and dad. I never made plans around it. And mom and dad were not wealthy, but I mean, they made a good living, but they were far from wealthy. But when the inheritance came, I just thought, well, that's a blessing. It was a gift. I didn't have, in other words, I wasn't anticipating this fortune. I didn't even think about it. Because I know some men that are kind of just waiting for that thing. I'm sure you all do too. But the parents, you know, when they're gone, what they have is not theirs, and it's the family's. And it's dispersed evenly among the children. That's the principle. But here we have a son that said, I want it right now, and his dad's still alive and well. First of all, that was way off. And second of all, it says two sons and divided it and he gave it. The other one received it as well. Both sons received their portion. I'd like to just to consider that for a minute. And then I'd also think of it. It rightfully belonged to those two boys, but I think their timing was way off. It's in verse 13, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. There's something about, I'm going to say, a young man with a lot of money. It usually don't turn out right. It just goes south. First of all, he was given that gift,
And he didn't, first he took ownership of it, says it's mine. This is my money. I got it from Dad. This is mine to deal with. And he had some dreams and aspirations in his life. It says that he wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, riotous living could mean many things and probably was. But riotous living would be a total disregard for any accountability to a holy God. And that you're just going to spend it, and you can spend it quickly. He found out real quick that he didn't quite have as much as he thought he had. And God can use different things to bring us to the end. The substance he wasted, it was gone. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now, a famine, that means, I wrote a definite, we know what it means, but a famine is, the definition is scarcity of food, a general want of provisions sufficient for the inhabitants of a country. Now, this country here has probably never had much of a famine. They might have had back in the Depression, I don't know if that was a famine, but there's just a lack of they survived. I don't think it was as bad as many countries in the world have ever been in a famine. But a famine in the land. And the scripture talks about famines. It really does. I can say it like this. We're in a famine if we don't have the Lord. He wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty, it wasn't just a common famine, but it was a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And I think that sometimes that the foolish spending that we, I remind myself each day that the goods I handle, they're not mine. I'm just called to manage them for a little bit of time. And then there's somebody else's. He calls us to stewardship. There arose a mighty famine in the land. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And I think that this was a disgrace. He was probably a Jew, and he went in another country who they were supposed to be separated from, and he joined him, and he went into his fields to feed the swine. And I think about that. You know, there's the Lord brings us down. Sometimes God in his mercy will put a roadblock right in front of us that we cannot get around. He just puts something right there. And here, this young man, he was hungry. And he didn't have nothing to buy anything, so he was very hungry. He sent him to feed the swine. He'd have been okay to eat the pig's feed. He'd have been okay with that. And that wasn't even given to him. And no man gave it unto him. He was that low. And then when he come to himself, he started thinking about how life was back there with his dad. There was plenty. He knew that his dad had many servants, and they had bread enough and to spare, is the phrase I like to use. There was more than enough for each one. And so it is. When we come to the Lord, you're never going to drain the mercy of God or the supply of his grace. There's more than enough. You can't empty it. His mercies are new this morning. They're new every morning. He says that there's a couple things I'd like to point out here. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He was looking back at what he had left. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And we think about, he took ownership here, and I'd like to read a portion of scripture. If I could find it here, it's about the two sons that in Matthew 21. I think is he starts this parable again like a father had two sons. He says here that in verse 28 of Matthew 21, that but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And sometimes I think we can kind of just compare these two here, but and he came to the second and said, likewise, go, you know, he said the same thing, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether them twain did the will of the Father. You know, the thing we need to understand here, it is God's will that not any should perish, but all would come to repentance. And that foundation stone, sometimes I think we as a, I don't know how to say this, but we lift up things higher than repentance. Such words as relationships, which is a good word, but repentance has to be one of the foundation stones in order to make an entrance into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The kingdom that we talked about this morning, what Terry explained, the two kingdoms and the warfare. But I'd like to just remind us here as well that this warfare that was going on here in Luke 15, the God of this world was leading that young man astray, helping him, letting him believe lies and what was out there beyond his reach, that this was going to be where the, this is where it's happening. And he basically said to his father, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm gone. And his daddy never said, don't go there. Or don't, he probably did, but I think that his father was probably a diligent teacher. But he chose to lay that over here and go his own way. His daddy let him go. He let him go until he come to the end of himself. And he was hunger. I think that we here don't even have a clue of what it is to be hungry. Not even close. I will rise, 18, he come to his senses. That's what I'd like to say it. He became sane. I will rise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And I think that I see a change of heart here when he just realized that he sinned against his father, the things that he taught him, and not only, but the greater sin was against the God that created him. The holy God created him. He has sinned in that riotous living and come to realize that I need to go back. I need to repent. My thinking needs to change. I need to change. And he also recognized his own unworthiness. He told his dad, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me like you're one of your servants. And that's, you know, each one of us. I appreciated what Terry said this morning. That God is not obligated. He doesn't owe us anything. He don't owe me anything. We owe our love and devotion and worship to him. Because of his love for us. He don't look down on humanity and say that I owe this man, you know. No. God is sovereign. He has set the principles that he set are eternal. And man, he just calls man to humble themselves under his mighty hand. That's it. Recognizing that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. That's all it is. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The first thing his son did was confess. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. His father received him joyfully. And that there again, the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance. That's the Heavenly Father that we have before us today. over one sinner that comes to repentance. And of course, we all know that when a sinner comes to repentance, there has to be a sin bearer, which is Jesus Christ. And he forgives us our sin. That's the thing we need to understand, that if we confess our sin, he is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't want us like Terry said, to have that where sin dominates our life. Bring the robe, put on the robe of righteousness. A ring, that ring is a signifying, it's a signet of, it's a binding, like he received him back as a son. And it was a binding signal or binding symbol. And shoes on his feet. You know, what I had to wonder, the situation that he was in, what did he have on for clothes? I'd say his clothes is pretty shabby. And he probably didn't have much for shoes. All that riotous living. But so is our life. Before we knew the Lord, you know, our clothes are pretty shabby. We needed new shoes. We needed new hearts. And by the grace of God, he takes that stony heart out and gives us a heart of flesh. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. And they were rejoicing, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, we all know what that's like when there's a child or anyone that comes to repentance, and it's clear the body of Christ is rejoicing, thankful that they saw the light of the gospel. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now, I think that the principle here, the principle of repentance, is that we've all sinned and come short, and we're all dead, and without Christ, we're going to stay dead. But he came to give us life, and life that we might have it more abundantly. He wants to give us life. He has given us life. And he is eternal. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now, I believe that the father's heart, I believe that he was a praying man every day that son would return. And when he did, he was rejoicing and thankful. But there was this older son, I believe, was filled with resentment, as it pictures here. And sometimes we can be that way. We can be, it's like kind of like in Matthew 20, where the servants went out to work in the vineyard, and the ones that worked 10 hours and the ones that worked 1 hour, they both received the same reward at the end of the day. It was like, that's not fair. And I think that's the attitude this son had here. It's not fair. But listen, the same grace and mercy that it took to save the one that left is the same that it took to save the one that stayed. You understand that? I'm sure you understand that. But it's only by the mercy of God that we can receive salvation. And it don't matter if I've been saved for 30 years and someone comes in tomorrow, the angels in heaven are rejoicing just like they did for me, as they will for him tomorrow, over one sinner that comes to repentance. And don't think you're sitting here. This is my burden, is that we think we sit here, we grow up, we're around Christians. Each one has a personal accountability and responsibility toward God. I can't take yours and you can't take mine. Each one of us will stand before the King. Each one will give an answer before the King. But to take ownership, God knows who you are. He knows it clearer than you do. He knows where you stand with him. He knows if you're dwelling in darkness. Let the light of God's word shine. Let the mirror reflect back and tell us in truth, who is it? Who am I? And just look at, yes, Lord, say amen to that. That's who I am. the thing that we need to understand that, just read this done here. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. In his own mind, he was justified in the way he felt. But there again, it is only by the mercy of God. And we don't read again about that son, but I would hope to think that he would come and change, have a change of heart and recognizing, I think of the words of Jesus Christ, if we forgive not men their trespasses, neither will our Father in heaven forgive ours. At least that he would at least came to that. And his dad said, and son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And I had to think about death and life and lost and saved. That is, all of humanity will have one of those two labels. Death and life are lost and saved. And that's a choice we have today on this side of eternity, that we can turn our hearts in humility to God, and he is able to lift us out of the miry clay and set our feet on that rock, Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. And the thing of it is, what I'd like to point out is that each one needs to make a conscious decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no one that is going to, by happenstance, fall or just flop into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of God. It has to be an intentional decision. And then by the grace of God, walk intentionally. We put off the things that are wrong and put on the things that are right. The whole armor of God, what Victor said today. And we do this in faith. We're not finished. There's no one here that has run his race completely. We're in the race. And I think that the difference, you know, we see it in today's society, what Terry pointed out today, that the departure from God's word, most people are willing to lay it aside, and they want, what do they want? They want to go their own way, my way. The way of your own way and my way is the way of death. That's just as plain as simple. You can go your own way a long time. But unless you turn, that end is hell. I mean, we need to speak plain. There are only two destinations for all of humanity. But that grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Recognizing that it is only God's love for us that he looked down, he had a plan to redeem humanity. And humanity is choosing to look the other way. Why is it that Jesus says that, it says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Many will strive to enter, will not be able. Why? Why will they not be able? It's because they're not willing to deny themselves and take up the cross. And listen, this is just a likeness or a parallel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The bread enough to spare. You know, God's grace is enough. If we in faith enter that kingdom through repentance and godly sorrow for our sins, his faith, his grace is enough to see us through. We can trust him. When the valleys come, God is able. He's more than able. He desires to. The scripture says that you can go in and out and find pasture. That's sustenance for life. When you face situations, you can bring it to God. He hears you. He knows where you're at. He knows your needs. He does. He refines us like silver and gold. He wants us to, I believe in all of my sincerity, that God wants us to arrive at the gates of heaven more than we want to get there. He wants us, he has our good in mind. He is not, he's a faithful God, but he's also just. You know, God is not going to let the sinner go unpunished. The brother or the man or woman has decided that they don't need the Lord. They're going to be punished without exception, regardless of where they lived and who they were close to and how long they lived with them. You can throw your pedigree out the door. Either you're a child of God or you're not. That's the simplicity of it. The gospel is black and white. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and you shall find rest for your soul. The rest, that eternal rest, it's a glorious rest, as it says in Isaiah. I just wonder, what I often wondered was this. The history does not record it, but it gives us thoughts to ponder here. After that son repented, what do you suppose his life was like? Did he serve the Lord out of gladness and gratitude? I would say that he most surely did. He was glad that he got redeemed. He was glad that he got redeemed. And I am glad also, and I'm sure a lot of you brothers are too, that you're glad that the Lord lifted us out and he will lead us on. There's another scripture here I'd like to turn to yet. The last one, I think, in Luke 17. I'd just like to look at, maybe compare these two sons here in light of this scripture here. This was after the apostles said, Lord, increase our faith. Verse 5 and 6. And the Lord said, if you have faith, as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which commanded him? I trow not. In other words, I don't think so. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And that is kind of like, that is our life. God does not owe me anything, like Terry said this morning. The very best day of our life, we're still unprofitable servants. But that don't give us a license to not serve him. You understand that? You see the two sons in that parable there?